Great Scott. It's time for the Geek News with J. Stu and K. Stu.
News team, assemble!
All right, hello everybody. It's time for this week's Geek News. And joining us here in the We Got the Geek newsroom is my lovely co-host, K. Stu.
Hello.
And I, of course, am J. Stu. So, to begin with, I guess I should mention, I don't know if you've seen it yet, K. Stu, but Bryan Singer tweeted the first pick of Nicholas Hoult as the Beast in the new X-Men movie that's coming out, Days of Future Past.
I have not seen this picture.
The cool thing is, it's in X-Men First Class, it looked more like a cat. In the new one, it's actually looking pretty much close to what Kelsey Grammer's looked like in X-Men 3.
Oh, yeah?
So it's more human-looking. It's still the blue fur and everything, but it's kind of cool for continuity that it looks the same. And I just realized that we're a month away, actually 3 weeks away from Iron Man 3.
Wow.
Pretty exciting, huh?
Waiting.
He's in North Korea. Robert Downey Jr. is in North Korea promoting it this week. I saw pictures of him on stage and someone wheeled in an Iron Man cake because it was his 48th birthday.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. Also that same weekend is Articon in Burlington.
Yay!
And we've been getting updates about the guests, and I know you want to buy one of everything that you've seen on the...
Yeah, Lara posted, like, the list of vendors, a partial list of the vendors, I guess. And, yeah, I want to buy one of everything from each vendor.
Looked like some interesting stuff, though.
For sure. So, I just mentioned to you, I said, I'm going broke that weekend. Don't bother me.
It's going to be a busy weekend. Yeah, that.
Free
comic book day. Possibly Iron Man 3.
Oi, we shall see.
It's going to be a geek-tastic weekend.
Busy, busy, busy weekend for sure. In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. No work.
Well, the fun work.
Well, the fun work. So, I'm looking forward to that weekend. I'd say as I'm chowing down on an Easter cream egg. Can't go wrong with that. Also, I guess I should mention that we may have some new segments coming your way this week. We had Ryan and Tressa and Mara in here recording a horror movie feature. And our good friend Dave was in recording a feature on gaming, which is something new to us.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. And I do want to thank everyone for listening to the segments last week. We had one special day in particular where 120 people checked out our site. So thank you for that.
Pushed us over the 1,500 mark overall.
Beautiful. Love seeing that.
I just like refreshing the page and watching the number go up and up and up.
I know you do. And I want to thank John and you for doing the interview with Lara from Articon. Sounded really good. I'm glad to see that system works now that we can do interviews.
Yeah. We can do phone calls and such.
It's going to be interesting in the future. So thank you guys for testing that out. I guess Ryan helped a little bit with the testing. You guys called him.
So a little bit.
Thanks, Ryan, as well.
Kinda.
Hey, you know how I love Zoe Saldana?
I do know how you love Zoe Saldana. I am aware.
I have a little crush on her, but she's cool. She's rumored to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. They haven't confirmed it yet, so I'm just going out on a limb saying it's a rumor. Whether or not that's true, I'm excited because I love her.
Are you starting this rumor?
No, it was on a website this week, and I guess she was in talks for the role of Gamora. It's a green alien who fights in the Guardians of the Galaxy. She's already played a blue alien in Avatar. Why not?
Aw, your girl in green.
Yeah, they still have to cast the voice of the raccoon in the tree.
So there's that.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, they announced this week that the movie takes place in 2045. Supposedly, it's supposed to tie in with all the other Marvel movies, so I don't know how they're supposed to do that. Unless they come back in time, maybe.
Gonna go back in time.
But it was a rumor that Iron Man was gonna take part in that, kind of. But how so if it's 45 years in the future? Well, not, I guess not.
Not.
Still. I'm bad at math. You know what else I found out tonight? Did you know that back in the 90s, there was work on a live-action Hulk movie back in 1997?
Yeah.
Like before any of these other big Marvel movies happened, even before the first Blade. I guess the screenplay went through several drafts with several different writers, and at various times it had the Hulk battling terrorists, the military, Brian Banner, I think that was his dad, as played by Nick Nolte, and convict insect men.
Oh, what?
Like flies and bee men, I guess.
Spiders.
I don't know. It seems...
Rhinos.
No. I don't know if that would be better than poodles.
No.
And check this out. In the same article, Ang Lee, remember his awful Hulk movie? It was Eric Bana, right?
Yeah.
His first choice was Billy Crudup.
Okay.
Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen, and he was an Almost Famous.
Okay.
I can kind of see him as Banner.
Sure.
Anywho.
Wait, was he going to play the Hulk, or was he going to play the Hulk Poodles?
No, he was going to play the Hulk, Banner. Oh, okay. Bruce Banner.
All right, just checking. And I would like to see Billy Crudup as a poodle.
Yeah, I still find it funny that they couldn't use the name Bruce in the 70s TV series because they didn't think it was a manly enough name, so they switched it to David.
There was some stigma with that name in the 70s.
I guess so. Anyhow, that's stuff that interested me this week. So, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got some news. Unfortunately, we have some sad news to report on this week, but we'll get to that right after this message.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded, whether you're a pull list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils. Everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back to this week's We Got the Geek news. Some geeky items coming up to report on. K-Stu is with me.
I am here.
Hello, lovely K-Stu. Now, we have two or three sad news items to report on, and I'll let you go first, actually.
Well, some sad news. On April 4th, legendary film critic Roger Ebert passed away after a lengthy battle with cancer. He was a film critic for the Chicago Sun-Times from 1967 until his death.
That's amazing.
Longer than your life.
Yeah.
He worked there.
Yeah.
And you're old.
Yeah,
two years
more than I've been alive.
Ebert and Chicago Tribune critic Gene Siskel helped popularize nationally televised film reviewing when they co-hosted the PBS show Sneak Previews, followed by several At the Movies programs. They created and trademarked the phrase two thumbs up, used when both hosts gave the same film a positive review. After Siskel died in 1999, Ebert continued to host the show with Richard Roper. In 2005, Ebert became the first film critic to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
First of all, can't believe it's been 1999 since Gene Siskel died.
Yeah.
Secondly, when did you first see these guys on TV. Because I remember the PBS show.
I don't know if I remember the PBS show. I remember at the movies, for sure. And that was in the time before the internet. Yeah. And you could only see the previews. Like, if you went to the movie is where you would see the theatrical previews. You would see the TV previews, but they were never the same.
Yeah.
But the Siskel and Ebert, they would show the theatrical ones. Mm-hmm. So I remember, like, that was the exciting thing. Because if I didn't get to go to the movies, I didn't get to see a theatrical preview. So they would show that version and then talk about the movie and stuff. And I just thought it was so cool. And it kind of, like, I didn't know about movie reviews and stuff before then.
Yeah.
And they just put a face on it. And it was like, wow. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh my God, they get paid to watch movies. How cool is that?
That's the dream, like, man.
My dad went to a real job and my mom went to a real job. I wanted to go to a job where I just watched movies. Oh, look at what I do now.
It's pretty funny. I remember the very first episode I ever watched of Sneak Previews. We got the TV guide, so it said what was coming on. And back in 1981, I saw a little movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is my all-time favorite movie. And I saw on the TV guide where there was a show where these two guys were going to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark. And outside of seeing the movie in the theater, like, it was the first show on TV that showed clips from the movie. And then they talked about it. And I used to love when these guys would argue about if one liked the movie and the other, and then they...
Oh, yeah.
I was in high school. I remember we actually, me and my friends, would shoot some videos about movies, and then we would lampoon Siskel and Ebert. And I was Siskel, my buddy was Ebert, and we would just make fun of the fact that they fought, and we did one where they had a fist fight, and... Yeah, it was great. I watched at the movies as well. I remember seeing a big Star Wars retrospective when Return of the Jedi was coming out in the theaters.
Nicely
and that
done.
By that time they were on like the syndicated at the movies, not on PBS anymore. And I watched those guys for years. I watched them when Richard Roper was on too. They didn't fight as much.
Yeah, I watched the Richard Roper years, but not as, like, religiously as watching Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
And the getting the two thumbs up was a big deal. Because when I worked in the video store, I remember Look Who's Talking. The poster had the baby, almost like in a Kilroy type thing, where you just saw, like, part of his face, and it said Look Who's Talking below the picture of the baby. Well, at the top, in the font just as big as the title, said two thumbs up, Siskel and Ebert.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how many people came into the store and asked if Two Thumbs Up was in stock.
Really?
Do you have any copies of Two Thumbs Up? Sorry, what? The one with the baby, Two Thumbs Up. They thought that was the name of the movie.
No way.
Because it was so big and so prominent on the top of the box. Yeah. Oh, we used to laugh at those people so much. Yolanda, wow. Marie, if you're listening, you know. But, yeah. Like, it was a big deal to have a two thumbs up movie. But that movie in particular, I just remember people asking specifically if Two Thumbs Up was in.
It was amazing that he kept reviewing and stuff, though. Because, I mean, he had that cancer since 2002 where he lost his jaw and stuff.
Yeah.
Which was sad. But he kept writing and reviewing. And his review, you know, it still meant a lot to different film.
Oh, yeah. Like, yes, he had cancer, and yes, he lost his jaw to it, which was really sad. But it didn't stop his ability to watch movies and talk about the movies, so he did the writing. And
oh, you had texted me that he passed away. Yeah. I had 2 days before read about how he was going to stop his column for a little bit because the cancer had come back, and he was going to fight it, and he was going to handpick other guys to help review the movies. And then, unfortunately, 2 days later, you know.
It's just so sad.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah. So, I got another sad one, unfortunately. So, around the same day, legendary comic book artist and editor, Carmine Infantino, also passed away, and he was 87 years old. He was best known for his work on The Flash. He had illustrated the character's adventures in various intervals from 1947 to 1985. Back in the 40s, it was Jay Garrick, the Flash with the tin hat. In 1956, he was the artist of an issue called Showcase Number 4. That was pretty significant because it was the debut of The Flash, Barry Allen, who has since gone on to become the most popular Flash of all. And that comic itself was considered the official start of the Silver Age of comics. He's also the artist of Flash issue 123, The Flash of Two Worlds, which introduced Earth 2, a DC concept still in use about parallel Earths, where Tin Hat Flash Jay Garrick actually teamed up with Barry Allen. Infantino's leadership period, he hired influential creators to DC, including Jack Kirby, Neil Adams, and Danny O'Neill, and published the first ever Marvel DC crossover, Superman vs. Spider-Man. Infantino was also involved in the development of Superman the movie. So this is back, he was an editor at DC for a little bit, in the 70s. Now check this out. Here is just some of the characters he co-created when he was an artist. We mentioned Barry Allen the Flash, Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, Wally West, who was Kid Flash, and then the Flash himself, and a whole mess of Flash villains. Captain Cold, Gorilla Grodd, Mirror Master, Weather Wizard, Reverse Flash, and your favorite, Captain Boomerang.
Oh, yes.
He also created The Human Target, which was the show recently with Mark Valley in it. In the 70s, he actually moved to Marvel for a little bit. He drew Spider-Woman, Miss Marvel. He was the co-creator of Nova, our daughter's favorite character. And then there was a period where he worked on Star Wars for a little bit. He drew a bunch of Star Wars issues for Marvel. He was also the artist of part of the Demon in a Bottle Iron Man story, which is considered the most popular Iron Man story of all time. So in the 80s, he moved back to DC and got to draw The Flash again. Right up until the end of that volume of the series, right before Crisis on Infinite Earth, where Barry Allen passed away and was gone for years. Although retired, Infantino continued to appear at comic book conventions in recent years. So, wow, his co-creations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure the list was bigger than that, but holy cow. And all these characters are still in use today.
Yeah.
Like, we're going back to the 50s with some of these guys. And we mentioned on a comic book panel not too long ago about how Barbara Gordon was being created for the Batman TV show with Adam West, but mm-hmm. ended up coming out a few months in comic book form before the show. So, unfortunately, he passed this week, and that's sad.
Yeah. Wow. Quite a talent.
Yeah, definitely. Very impressive. So why don't you tell your last sad story and then we'll take a commercial break.
Okay. Writer George Gladier passed away. Gladier is probably best known as a writer for Archie Comics, having written stories for Archie's girls, Betty and Veronica, Archie's pal Jughead, Reggie and Me, and Betty and Me. However, he also worked for Cracked Magazine, in time serving as its head writer. He co-created Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Dan DiCarlo. In addition to becoming a fixture in the comics, Sabrina would eventually star in an animated series and a live-action sitcom.
Yeah, that's been a pretty popular character. If you think about it, the Melissa Joan Hart series?
Yeah.
And I remember there was a cartoon when I was a kid. Not a good week for comic book creators, man.
Huh, not at all.
So our thoughts are with the families of Carmine Infantino and Roger Ebert and the co-creator of Sabrina.
Yeah.
George Gladier, I think.
George Gladier. It's a sad week.
It is a sad week. For sure. Why don't we take a break and hopefully come back with some happier news.
Okay.
All right.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, welcome back to the We Got the Geek Geek News for this week. Sitting here in the studio with K-Stu. And hopefully we have some happier news for you. Well, let's see what I got. So David Morrissey will be back as a series regular for this October's fourth season of The Walking Dead, despite initially only signing up for one season. Last week's finale saw the governor on the run after a failed attack on the prison. In addition to Morrissey, three other Walking Dead cast members have been promoted to series regulars. Emily Kinney, who joined the show back in season two as Herschel's youngest daughter, Beth. Chad Coleman, who plays Tyrese. And Sonequa Martin-Green, who plays Sasha.
Sasha, that's her name.
Yep.
I don't know. Girl with Tyrese is how I knew her.
Just bummed. We got to wait 6 months.
See, that's why you should be watching Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
True.
Because now Walking Dead's not on. Oh, but look at that. I have Mad Men to keep me busy. Oh, Mad Men's done. Oh, look. Breaking Bad's ready. And then when Breaking Bad's done, oh, look. Walking Dead. You catch up on some AMC shows, you'll be set for life.
Yeah.
You don't go through a dead period. That said, this is the last season of Breaking Bad, and I think it's the last season of Mad Men, so I could be screwed.
They haven't said anything about Mad Men being done, though, which they probably would have at the beginning of the season, you'd think.
Maybe. But this is the last bit of Breaking Bad this summer. So then I got to start watching something else.
Hell on Wheels.
No.
I know you hate westerns.
I do.
Alright, what else do you have for us?
What do I have? Will Arnett has joined the cast of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now I gotta see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was gonna say, I like Will Arnett. Probably not enough to see a Ninja Turtles movie, though.
His role is unknown at this point. The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed that he will not be playing Casey, another human friend of the Turtles.
I saw a picture of Megan Fox with red hair, because she's playing April. Cricket. All right, moving along. Warner Brothers have announced that Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox, will be made on Blu-ray, DVD, on demand, and digital download on July 30th. So 4 days after my birthday, which is also 4 days after The Wolverine comes out. So some of the voice has been announced, voice cast. Kevin Conroy will return to the role of Batman in the film, and will be playing Bruce Wayne in the non-Flashpoint era sections of the film, because Bruce Wayne was not the main Batman in that story that it's based on.
Right.
So here's the other ones they've announced. Ron Perlman will be back as Slade Wilson, or Deathstroke. Dana Delaney returns to voice Lois Lane. She voiced Lois on the Superman animated series. We can also announce that Vanessa Marshall is playing Wonder Woman. She actually voiced Wonder Woman in Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, so she's coming back to voice Wonder Woman. She's actually voiced Mary Jane Watson, Black Canary, and Black Widow in various TV animated features. And just announced a couple days ago, C. Thomas Howell will voice the Reverse Flash. So other pivotal castings, including Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman, and the Thomas Wayne Batman, will be revealed soon. So Flashpoint, of course, was the series which you read, which led right into this new 52 series of books. The reboot, if you will.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're making an animated feature out of it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Can't wait to see who else they got for that, though. That was the one where Aquaman and Wonder Woman were battling each other. Atlantis and Paradise Island were at war, and it wiped out, like, a bunch of cities on Earth.
Yeah.
so.
I told you that Aquaman was up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. No? Too far?
No. What do you have for us next, Casey?
In the news I'm probably most excited about this week, Albert Brooks and Ellen DeGeneres are returning for Finding Dory, the sequel to the 2003 movie Finding Nemo. According to director Andrew Stanton, Finding Dory takes place about a year after the first film and features returning favorites Marlin, Nemo, and the Tank Gang, among others. Set in part along the California coastline, the story also welcomes a host of new characters, including a few who will prove to be a very important part of Dory's life.
Wow, I gotta admit, I like the Finding Nemo.
I love Finding Nemo.
It makes me cry every time.
Every time. Every time.
Can you believe it's been 10 years since that came out?
Well, okay, so that was the thing. We were talking about it today earlier. It's been 10 years. Our daughter's only 8. Well, she'll be 8 in May.
Yeah.
So when we saw this, we didn't have kids. It still made us cry.
Yeah.
Now that we have a kid, my God, it's even worse. So, I'm just so excited. So excited. I love Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ellen DeGeneres is Dory. Amazing.
Oh, she was great.
Dory in her own movie now. Super amazing.
And other than some Cars movies, I don't think Pixar can do any wrong anyhow. Now, if only they'll do a sequel to The Incredibles. All right, I have one last story here, and it's about the new S.H.I.E.L.D. series. So a synopsis was released this week for the new S.H.I.E.L.D. series, and it actually has a new title as well. It's now being known as Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's directed and written by Joss Whedon, and the synopsis goes a little something like this. Fresh from his role in the summer's box office smash, Marvel's The Avengers, Agent Phil Coulson returns to the worldwide law enforcement organization S.H.I.E.L.D. He puts together a small, highly trained team of agents to tackle the cases that haven't been classified yet, the new, the strange, and the unknown.
Huh.
So, I mean, cool that Coulson somehow survived The Avengers. I guess we'll find out how.
Told you he was fine.
I don't know. I don't know.
Have they said that it's Clark Gregg coming back?
Yeah, it's Clark Gregg coming back.
Just because I'm thinking they could be total jerks and be like, oh, it's his daughter, other Agent Coulson.
They've made comments that maybe they could get Samuel Jackson on there for a cameo. But I don't think we're ever going to see any superheroes or anything like that on this, even though Black Widow and Hawkeye are part of S.H.I.E.L.D. But, I mean, it'll still be interesting. It's comic book related. It's Joss Whedon. I'm going to watch it.
I'm excited.
Yep.
And you know I'm going to be watching it every week going, maybe somebody will show up. Maybe there'll be a cameo.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be stupid things like, oh, I just had Hawkeye on the phone. Hawkeye called.
Wow.
You know it's true.
Yep. Do you have any more?
I do not. I'm out.
All right, let's take a break. We'll get the box office from you. I'll pull up some geek birthdays for the next week. It's all good. We'll be right back with more news.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey, K2 here from We Got the Geek. Not only am I your favorite podcaster, but I'm also your Scentsy independent consultant. Scentsy offers a safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. We sell ceramic warmers that use a low-wattage light bulb to warm our specially formulated wax cubes infused with fragrance. With over 80 scents available, I'm sure you'll find a few favorites. We also offer stuffed animals that have a scent pack included, broom sprays, travel tins for your car or locker, and our new Layers line of fragrance that lets you build a new fragrance wardrobe layer by layer, from your skin to your clothes. Contact me for a catalog, to smell some yummy samples, or to book a party. We're also hiring. Ask me about joining my team. Email me at kstu.wickless@me.com or on my website kstu.sensi.ca.
All right, welcome back to this week's We at the Geek Newsroom. I was just flipping through the Entertainment Weekly when we were in the break, and
More sad news. Not really geeky news, but legendary producer Phil Ramone has also passed away. He was responsible for pretty much saving Billy Joel's career. Billy Joel was on the way out of Columbia Records, and he produced the big album, The Stranger, which had all those hits, and produced every album of his up until 1986. And going by this list here, he also produced Madonna's Crazy for You.
Wow.
Evergreen for Barbra Streisand. And Maniac for Michael Cimbello.
Oh, wow.
And they mentioned in the Billy Joel song, Only the Good Die Young, but everything from 77 to 86, you know, like Big Shot, My Life, Still Rock and Roll to Me, the whole Innocent Man album, like all the big ones. So it's not been a good week for legendary celebrities.
No, I guess not.
Let's get rid of all the bad news, though, and do you have the box office?
I do. I did. loading the box office. This is the song that goes for loading the box office. Just had it. Sorry. Okay. So number one this week is The Evil Dead.
I'm surprised and amazed.
Making $26 million this week. Number two, The Croods, making $21.1 million. Total box office so far for The Croods is $125.8 million, by the way.
So Nick Cage finally has a hit again.
Good for Nick Cage. G.I. Joe Retaliation holding in at number three. Actually, tied for number two, they both made $21.1 million.
Wow, I can't believe it.
Jurassic Park. Welcome back to the top 10, Jurassic Park. You're 10, 20 years old. Well, 1993 is the date I have here. So.
Oh, is it 1993?
Yep.
Okay.
It may have been later in the year, but...
Oh, you're right, you're right.
It made $18.2 million this week. Olympus Has Fallen, number five. Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. at least it's not Medea as a marriage counselor.
I'm just shaking my head and yawning when you tell me that one.
Number seven, Oz the Great and Powerful. Number eight, The Host. Number nine, The Call. Halle Berry holding in there. Number 10, Admission. Number 11, Spring Breakers. And number 12, holding in solid with 18.8... Sorry. Holding in with... $818,000 this week, Identity Thief.
Wow, we still got to see that. Yeah. How incredible was Melissa McCarthy on Saturday Night Live this weekend?
God. I love her so much. Love her so, so much.
She's great. That whole show was hilarious. Not one bad skit in the whole show.
Yeah, and, okay, you know I'm going to say it. I love Drunk Uncle.
I know.
The best part of the news is Drunk Uncle. Drunk Uncle brought in his buddy... Peter Drunkledge. Oh my god. Oh my god.
All right, you want to hear some geek birthdays for the week?
Does it have anything to do with Drunk Uncle?
Maybe.
Okay.
I have no idea.
It probably doesn't.
I don't remember. Anyhow, today on the 8th, we have Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. Saw her in person a couple years ago. Schwing. It's also John Schneider's birthday, Bo Duke, Pa Kent, Man Never Ages, and Jack O'Halloran. Do you know who Jack O'Halloran is?
Nope.
He was Non in Superman 2, one of the Kryptonian...
Why would I know that? He was in the plastic? Was he in the...
Yeah, he was the guy that got trapped in the cellophane S that came off Superman's shirt. Dumbest thing ever in a Superman movie. On Tuesday the 9th, the other K-Stu.
Ugh.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart. We also have Jay Baruchel, soon to be starring in This is the End. Also, we remember him from Undeclared and Just Legal. Was that the name of the Don Johnson lawyer show?
Maybe.
I don't know. Also, Dennis Quaid. And Keisha Knight Pulliam, Rudy from The Cosby Show, 33 years old.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I'm not going to be a pig because she's 33 now. Very attractive.
Well, yeah.
On Wednesday the 10th, Steven Seagal. Guess how old Steven Seagal is?
65?
Oh, okay. No, he's 60.
Oh.
I thought you were going to go the other way. Steven Seagal is 60. On the 11th, Trisha Helfer, another babe from Battlestar Galactica. And I don't know if you still like this one or not. You used to think she was the bee's knees. Jennifer Esposito.
She's pretty.
Yeah. Wasn't she the girlfriend of I'm Going to Be the Master of Disguise?
Yes.
Cool. On the 12th, David Letterman. David Letterman, my favorite late night TV host. Also, Ed O'Neill from Modern Family. Ed O'Neill's going to be 67 years old.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. Yeah, Married with Children was...
A thousand years ago?
Almost 30 years ago.
Okay.
Someone who may or may not have been on one of your lists at one time, David Cassidy.
He wasn't, but I did track down David. I tracked down a Partridge Family album for my friend's wedding in 1991.
Yeah.
She wanted I Think I Love You at the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
So we tracked down, we went to Record Archive in Rochester and found it. And then right around the same time, David Cassidy had put out a new solo album.
I remember.
And he was playing, oh, it had to be, well, it could have been either one. He was playing at some bar in Rochester, and I couldn't go because I wasn't old enough to get into a bar. I know, burn.
That sucks.
I was like, can I just stay outside in the car and listen from there? But no.
Interesting aside, I have sung I Think I Love You at karaoke.
I like that song.
Indeed. Saturday the 13th, Tony Dow.
Oh.
Also in his late 60s, but then I thought about it. Thought about Leave It to Beaver was in the late 50s, early 60s. We just mentioned him in the news. Ron Perlman, Hellboy, also the Beast. We also have, not so geeky, but I know you find him attractive, Max Weinberg from the E Street Band, also Conan O'Brien's band.
Okay, so I will out myself in my stupidity now.
Oh, go ahead. I know what's coming.
Because you know this story. So when Conan O'Brien's show had started up, when he was still on NBC, and Max Weinberg, the frontman of the Max Weinberg 7, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that guy is hot. And I got a thing for drummers. It's a known fact. No clue that he was the drummer for the E Street Band. Not a single clue. I wasn't a Springsteen fan at the time. Like, I knew the singles that were on the radio. I didn't know the band. I knew we had a big black guy play the clarinet.
At that time, the E Street Band was disbanded as well.
Yeah, so, but there were music videos out, and this was when there were still music videos.
Oh, yeah, he was in all the big Bruce Springsteen videos in the 80s.
Yep. But you know what he wasn't wearing? A suit. And that's what he was wearing on Conan all the time. So I never put the two and two together. And it wasn't until I met you.
Are you serious? So, like, 6 years later?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Because I didn't listen to Springsteen.
Right.
Like, you were the reason I started listening to Springsteen and older tracks and the new albums and stuff like that. Like, you were the whole Springsteen start fandom, whatever. But, yeah, no clue. Not a single clue. And then, it just one day, I was like, wait a minute. Max Weinberg is in the E Street Band? And it was kind of like, wait a minute. There's a hamburger inside the Whopper? Like, really? How did I not know this? But I did not.
That's cute, honey. Also celebrating a birthday that day is Rick Schroeder. I don't know if he's known by Ricky anymore. He was on that horrible season of 24, right?
Yeah.
And Peter Davison. Do you know who Peter Davison is?
No.
Well, he was the fifth Doctor Who after Tom Baker.
Why'd I know that?
Want to hear an interesting fact?
Is he related to Tommy Davison from Mad TV?
No.
Oh.
His daughter is married to David Tennant, who was Doctor Who number 10 or 11, something like that.
Okay, I think I did know that.
I just read that in Entertainment Weekly, actually. Next Sunday, we have Robert Carlyle from Stargate Universe and Once Upon a Time, Anthony Michael Hall. Now, here's a couple I'm going to quiz you on. Do you know who Chris Ellis is?
No.
Well, he's a character actor. He's been in stuff like The Dark Knight, Armageddon, Con Air, and you might know him as the man with the really nice camper on That Thing You Do.
Oh.
Guy's in a million movies.
I do know him.
And do you know who Bob Clendenin is?
I know the name. I don't know why.
Well, he's been in Star Trek. He's been in Dude, Where's My Car? He's Tom on Cougar Town.
Oh.
And, of course, on That 70s Show, he was Earl. And what was the joke about Earl?
It's not short for early. Because Earl was always late for work.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's this week's Geek Birthdays. Let's take a break. When we come back, we have the Geek Calendar, where we're going to tell you what you should be watching, reading, and all that great stuff. So we'll be right back after this message.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Mostly Comics has been serving the Niagara region for over 30 years. The store sells a variety of comics and entertainment-related products, including graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Mostly also purchases rare comics upon appraisal. Visit Kim and the Gang at 413 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines, or check out their website at www.mostlycomics.com.
Welcome back, and it is now time for this week's Geek Calendar, as read by the lovely K-Stu, with a little bit of an assist from me.
Yay! Okay, so April 8th, that's Monday, is the season finale of Being Human. It's an awesome show. Watch it. I love it.
That means we'll have 7 episodes on the DVR.
Hooray!
But no more.
Not that many.
This will be the 7th.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh. We have 6 on there now.
Shuddy.
We were doing pretty good keeping up with that one.
That's why I'm surprised we have 7. Diana won't let us watch it in front of her, so...
Well...
Jerk. Okay, so April 9th, Tuesday, it's new DVD release day. Family Ties, the 6th season.
Cool.
I don't have the first 5, so...
Great series, though.
Bad Girls Go to Hell. Never heard of that one, but it stars Ben Browder and Judd Nelson.
We got stickers for that when we were at Fan Expo. There was a comic book graphic novel as well.
I thought it was Bad Kids Go to Hell.
Maybe it has nothing to do with it then. Maybe it's a sequel. I don't know. I'm getting confused by my geek references.
Me too. All right. Tuesday, April 10th, we have new comic books out. So we're going to take a look at the list.
There is a list. First off is Batman 19, featuring a lovely WTF gatefold cover. That's what they're calling it this month in April.
Why the face?
Batman and Robin 19, The Walking Dead 109, Avengers number 9,
Saga number 12.
Saga number 12.
I'm reading number 2.
Okay.
Hawkeye number 9.
I like the cover with the lady wearing the I Heart Hawkeye shirt.
More ladies, more problems. So, Hawkeye number 9, More Ladies, More Problems, featuring the girlfriend, the work wife, and the ex-wife. Plus, the tracksuits are back and aimed to kill. Good luck, Hawkeye.
Oh, don't forget they vowed vengeance on Hawkeye in the last issue.
I like that he has a work wife, because I have a work husband.
Oh, his work wife would be Girl Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Uncanny Avengers number 6. Avenging Spider-Man number 19. Spider-Man is Dr. Octopus. There, now that we've got that off our chest, the mysterious being known as the Sleepwalker stalks Spider-Man in the waking world.
In July, the title of this is changing to Superior Spider-Man Team-Up.
Oh.
So you know.
Wolverine number 2, Hunting Season Part 2. Age of Ultron number 5. Thor, God of Thunder, number 7, God Bomb, part 1 of 5.
Wow.
And that's the Thor thing. It wasn't its own thing.
We also have Star Wars issue 4 from Dark Horse. You read page 1 of the first issue this weekend.
Yeah, I got far.
Oh, boy. Suicide Squad 19, Constantine issue 2. Ryan said Constantine issue 1 was really fun. Let's see. Moving on to the next page of the comic book list.
What's on the next page, Jace, do?
Oh, Avengers Arena 7. That's like the Hunger Games Avengers series where all the youthful Avengers are in a death trap. They're fighting each other to the death.
Oh.
Ultron 1, AU. And what did the AU stand for, Jace, do?
Alternate Universe.
Django Unchained number 3. Thief of Thieves 13. Not sure what that is, but it looks cool. Threshold number 4. Ah, here's one for Diana.
Batman Lil Gotham number 1.
Aww. Robin needs Batman's help to learn the true meaning of Halloween. Then on Thanksgiving, Batman and Robin join the families of Gotham City around the table for a holiday feast. The kid's actually looking really forward to that one. Especially since they canceled her Superman family adventures. Alpha Big Time number 3. Doctor Who, Prisoners of Time, and it's the Doctor Who you like with the scarf.
Yeah, so there.
Star Trek 20. That's the continuity from the movie. Here's one you might want to read.
The Batman, or the Bionic Man versus the Bionic Woman number 4.
Do we ever confirm how many issues that one
no,
was?
No, it just kept going.
It was only issue 4, though.
Bravest Warriors number 7.
Yeah, Diana really loves that one as well. It's twisted, but what can you expect from the creators of Adventure Time?
True. Dark Shadows Year 1, number 1. The origin of Dark Shadows finally revealed. How did Barnabas Collins become a bloodthirsty vampire? Huh.
Well, now you'll find out. Star Trek Countdown to Darkness number 4. That's the prequel to the movie that's coming out in May. That's coming out fairly soon, too. Oh, May. This one's just funny to say. Todd, the ugliest kid on Earth.
Number 4. Poor Todd. He's either got a book of evil or he's the ugliest kid on Earth.
He's not cool. That's pretty much it for the good comics coming out this week. Not as big as previous weeks. Looking forward to Batman.
They can't all be huge weeks. I just can't afford it.
Ryan's wallet taking a beating on the comics as well. Bless you, by the way.
Thank you. So Thursday, April 11th, we have a new community. It's the puppet episode.
Please watch it. No one's watching it. And it doesn't help that they put it on against Big Bang Theory and
American Idol.
Come on.
Who's watching American Idol?
Sophie B. Hawkins was on last week.
Sophie B. Hawkins.
Ovid has a girlfriend now. She was cute, by the way.
I know.
Did you get the feeling that Jeff wants to get back with Britta?
Possibly.
I want him and Annie to get together.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I don't know. And then, like, Pierce was nice?
I know.
That was weird. Okay, also on April 11th, The Office is on. It's the second last episode leading up to the finale. The finale's not on until May 16th.
That's the series finale, even. Last week's episode was great as well, because finally, after 9 years, they're putting out this documentary that they've been shooting. And all The Office was just hooked on the promos for it. Andy with the banjo was hilarious.
They liked seeing themselves.
Yeah, but they're now realizing, and it's hilarious, they're realizing 9 years later, what do you mean they filmed everything?
Yeah. What do you mean we had no privacy? What if we had our microphones off? They had, like, aerial mics everywhere.
It's cracking me up.
April 12th in theaters, 42, starring Harrison Ford.
That's the Jackie Robinson baseball movie.
Yep. And Scary Movie 5, starring Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan.
That's a train wreck.
Please don't go see it. Maybe they'll stop making them. I don't know. Maybe it'll be good.
The first two were okay.
Saturday, April 13th, there's a new episode of Doctor Who. I really need to get into that show.
Yeah.
And Sunday, April 14th, the season finale of Bob's Burgers. And also the season finale of Lost Girl. And a new episode of Mad Men.
A lot of season finales this month.
I think Mad Men should get its own, like, Talking Dead type show so we can talk
with
about
Chris Hardwick.
yeah, I don't know if he'd... not saying he doesn't watch it, but he's, like, perfect for The Talking Dead, but I'd like a reflection show about Mad Men and John Hamm in general.
Think anyone would watch a show like that?
Though? I would.
I could, you know what? Nothing against Mad Men. I love The Talking Dead. I could see them doing that for Breaking Bad, because I hear more people are into that show than Mad Men.
Breaking Bad is so good, but it's like the last 6-7 episodes or whatever. Yeah. They're not going to start up a new show.
They took their time playing this out, eh? When did you see the first half of the season? Last year at some point?
The first half of the season ended before October 8th. Sometime in September it ended. And that was the first half of the season. And I only remember that because of my day job. And it was actually affected by it.
I hate when they drag it out like that. I used to hate when sci-fi would do that with Battlestar Galactica.
Well, I don't hate that they're dragging it out. Like, fine. But don't call it the same season.
Right. I used to have a problem with that, too.
Like, this is a separate season. Your seasons can be 6 episodes long. That's what the UK does.
If it's like 10 or 11 months later, it's not
it's
the same
season. It's a new season.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my only
end of rant.
That. I need to like go back and rewatch it though, because now that it's been so long, and like I've talked to people who like started watching the show, but I can't have full on conversations with them because obviously they don't know everything that's happened so far.
Yeah.
So I need to go back and rewatch like the last season, just so I can get caught up, because I zipped through the first 4 seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
In preparation for season 5, watched 6 episodes, and now it's like, oh, now I can't watch it again.
I think this summer I'm actually going to sit down and maybe rewatch the first 2 seasons of Walking Dead.
Okay.
But I at this point of the game, I don't remember a lot about season 1. And now that I've read all the comics.
Yeah.
Because I started reading it after season 1 came out.
I should sit down and read the comics.
But or then, at least up until the jail story.
But then there's going to be part of me that's just going to be angry because it's not the same.
I was telling Ryan last night, I'm kind of excited, and I think it's cool that I get 2 different Walking Dead stories, the comics and the show. So.
But I know with True Blood, like it totally went a separate direction, and it just made me angry because I loved what was in the book so much.
Yeah. I don't want to give away too much for those that haven't seen the finale or read the books, but season 4 looks like it's going to be really different from the books. They're totally going in a different direction. Yeah. So this will be like, it's True Blood breaking up point.
Which I didn't like, so, oh well.
All right, well that's all we got for you.
Okay.
So, thanks for listening. Please check us out on iTunes. Go to our page on Facebook and click like. We enjoy seeing the likes.
And tell your friends.
Twitter. We're on Twitter. We're on Pinterest.
Yep.
Thanks for listening all this week. We're really happy with the results. We're looking forward to our appearances in May. We'll keep you informed with those appearances. And thanks for your support. So we'll see you next week when we do our next news item. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.